All right, let's open our Bibles again tonight to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, we're working our way through the 37th Psalm. I remind you as we launch into this tonight that this is a psalm which was intended to be sung. It was written in a very poetic manner with meter and it was sung when it was part of the Psalter for the Jewish people, and very pretty, I'm sure, sung in their tongue. Psalm 37, we'll be looking at verses 8 to 22 tonight. The reason I remind you that it's a song, it doesn't read like a theological dissertation from the Apostle Paul, does it? It reads like poetry. You kind of have to sense the meaning of it as you go and interpret the words that are used. And so we'll do that as we look at this even tonight. Psalm 37, it's a psalm of David written in his old age, you remember. Written a lot of it like Proverbs. Almost could take any couple of verses and make a message of them. The key verse, we said, is verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way, the Bible says. The steps of a good man, ordered by the Lord. In the first seven verses last week, we looked at some of the good steps of this man, the steps of this good man, I should say, noting in those verses the verbs. You remember the first verse says, fret not. In other words, don't worry about what evil people do or be envious of their seeming prosperity, because they're going to be mowed down like the grass of the field. So don't fret. Fret not. I've heard several of you say that in this past week. Don't fret. Don't fret. That's what he taught us on Wednesday. So I'm glad you're listening. The second one we looked at is in verse 3, where it says, trust the Lord. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. So we have to trust. Faith produces good works, we said, and good works bring the blessing of God. So that's a good instruction as well, to trust the Lord. Verse number four is our third one. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. The result of that will be that you desire the things that he desires. Now, there's an advantage to that. If God desires it and that's what he wants to happen, then it's going to happen. And when we desire what he desires, oh, that's a wonderful experience to walk along with the Lord as he does those things that we desire with him. Verse number 5 is our fourth. Commit your ways to the Lord. When we're misquoted, when we're falsely accused, when we're cheated, whenever it is, we commit our ways to the Lord. The promise is that you'll get where you're going and that your righteousness will be put on display. It'll be a trophy of God's grace. Your life will be. Verse number 7, rest in and wait on the Lord. Too often we cast our cares on him and then we take them right back up. And so there in those first seven verses, there are those five verbs that we looked at, and make a good devotion, something for you to meditate on, those verbs in the first seven verses. Verses 8 to 22, David starts to draw a contrast or contrasting pictures of this good man and puts it right alongside the evil man. I'll say the saved man right alongside the unsaved man. And what do we hope to gain as we go through here? What I'd like for us to do is to realize how wonderful it is to be Christian, how wonderful it is to know the Lord. And so nothing so deep here, just kind of take it at face value. Again, it's a song to be sung, and we're looking at the words, examining them. Let's begin in verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Well, what would we be angry about? If you look back to verse 7, it would tell you, well, don't be mad at those who enjoy pleasures that you're not having right now, that you feel like you can't have. Don't feel angry toward those who are working their wicked devices. Don't get angry. Don't be mad at God for the way things are going, way things are turning out in your life. An early sign that we're angry would be that we're tempted to murmur. Tempted to murmur. And when we start murmuring, a lot of times it's because we're angry. He says there, "Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." It would be easy to fall here because the result of our fleshy anger is always evil. God can be angry and he can have righteous indignation, but a lot of times when we get angry, it's not righteous indignation, it's just flesh. And so it's easy to fall into this trap, but James told us in James chapter 1 and verse 20, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." I have seen men get angry with each other, Christian men get angry with each other, thinking somehow that they are on the side of right and they need to press it on others. Have you ever seen that happen? And James tells us, The wrath of man does not accomplish the work of the Lord. It won't happen that way. Somebody might say, "Well, if that's the way he's going to be, well, I'll just." Have you ever had those thoughts? It's because we're angry at something. If that's the way he's going to be, I'll just. Now, wait a minute. Just stop. One commentator says, "Relax." He says, "Don't react." That's a good lesson. Don't react. Think about it. Pray about it. Verse number 9 says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." So here we have our first contrasting picture. We have on one side, the evildoer, and on the other side, those that wait on the Lord, the good man, that we're studying his steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The natural man here, the unsaved man, is called an evildoer. And what will his judgment be? The Bible says he'll be cut off. That generally means death. In the physical sense, he'll die, but also in the spiritual sense. Evil men will be separated from God forever, spiritual death. They don't have much to look forward to. Remember, I'm trying to make you glad you're a Christian tonight. The good man whose steps we're studying, the saved man, is referred to here as those that wait upon the Lord. Does it remind you of another verse in the Bible? Isaiah 40, verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." A good man, the steps of a good man. He's a man who waits upon the Lord. What do you guess waiting means then? Did you ever wonder? Wait on the Lord. Does that mean don't do anything until he does something first? I think waiting suggests that the individual has confidence in the Lord and what the Lord's doing. They're ready for him to come, waiting for him to come, but waiting for him to intervene. Wait on the Lord. The result of our waiting is that we'll inherit the earth. Those that wait upon the Lord, those that are confident in the Lord and the way he does things, and are awaiting his coming, they will inherit the earth. Inherit the earth? What does that mean? It's used five times in the scriptures. Verse 9, verse 11, verse 22, Psalm 25, 13, and Matthew 5, 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. They'll inherit the earth. Who was this written to? This psalm? To the Jews. The Jews sang this. This was one of their songs in their Psalter. And so in the Jewish mind, inherit the earth, no doubt, would have some covenant connotation to it. They were promised to Abraham, do you remember, a land, a seed, and a blessing, the land. They've never had all of their land yet, but they will. But they really wanted that kingdom. They wanted to be part of a kingdom and live on the earth and have their king to reign over them. And so, no doubt, this has some special meaning to the Jewish people. It would involve blessings, both temporal and spiritual, that pertain to the land of Canaan. Various other opinions as to the place of this inheritance exist. Some people say, well, it's the present earth and the fullness thereof. Some people say heaven. Others say the new heaven that God will create. And others say, well, it's all of the above. But they that wait upon the Lord, there's an inheritance for them. Christ illustrates this story over in Luke chapter 16 and verse 19 when he tells the story of the rich man and Lazarus. I want to read that, Luke 16, 19, if you'd like to turn back there. Luke 16, 19. It illustrates so well this. Evildoers are cut off. Those that wait on the Lord, they inherit everything. Verse 19, Luke 16. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Verse 21. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in the flames. Now I'm going to stop right there. Those that wait upon the Lord will what? They'll inherit the earth. And those that are evil and wicked, they'll be cut off. It's true. It will be played out again over and over and over again. We will be victors. We will be heirs. We will be rich spiritually. We will have access to everything that is in the material realm from now until eternity and in eternity, where we'll live on a new earth without a sea, where God reigns over his people. Look at verse 10 in our text. We're back at Psalm 37. It says, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Do you see the contrast here? There's two individuals in these two verses mentioned. The wicked man, the natural, the unsaved man, again called wicked, the results of his wickedness, well, he's going to cease to be. That is, on earth, he won't cease to exist spiritually somewhere. You'll look in their usual hangouts and they're not there anymore. You know what I was thinking when I read this? All of the stars of yesteryear, the Hollywood stars. Now they're old and wrinkled and they're did you hear so-and-so died or so-and-so died? Well, they had their happiness, but it was fading. And as they grow older, do you feel a little sorry for them? I feel a little sorry for them. You know, their joy is kind of fading away. They slip away from the moth-eaten riches into eternal nothingness. Brothers and sisters, they're leaving their treasure. We're going to ours. Isn't it nice to be a Christian? And no, we don't have to worry about this junk down here. Forgive me, but that's how I feel sometimes. Or, as verse 2 puts it, they're going to be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. They don't have much to look forward to, but we do. We do. Let's look at the good man in verse 11. Good man, the saved man, called meek here. It's defined in the context, kind of. The meek are those wholly relying on God rather than their own strength to defend themselves against injustice or to meet their needs. Gentleness or meekness is the opposite of self-assertiveness, the opposite of self-interest. It stems from trust in God, in His goodness and His control over the situation. Gentle. We don't have to get riled up. We don't have to get worried and fret. We don't have to get angry. The work of the Holy Spirit just causes us to rest in the Lord, to be meek. It's not weakness. It's not weakness. Is it because our Lord Jesus was meek? It's strength that's under control. Strength under control, harnessed, if you will. What's the result of this meekness? Well, they'll inherit the earth, he says again, and have abundant what? And peace. Peace. Abundant peace. The peace that passes understanding, you think? That Philippians 4 peace? Have you felt the peace of God lately? The peace that passes understanding. That's wonderful, isn't it? One of these days we'll live with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's called the Prince of Peace. And while He's ruling, there'll be peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And then in eternity, it's that time that the song says, when all is peace forevermore. We've got a lot of things to look forward to. And one is, no more hustle, bustle, worry, fret, anger. None of those things. Peace. Peace that passes understanding. The happiness that the wicked thought he had, the one that faded, that'll belong to us, that happiness, contentment. And it'll be real and it'll be lasting forever. Verse 12 says, the wicked plotteth against the just. There are two men again, the wicked and the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. So the natural, unsaved, wicked man plots against the just, like a captain plots his course across the ocean or an airline pilot. The wicked is not content to live and let live. He plots against the just to take what he can, to control the just man. It says he gnashes on him with his teeth. I looked the word up. It means to grind the teeth together. I guess it could mean bite. Did you ever think that? When they stoned, who did they stone first? Stephen. When they stoned Stephen, it says they gnashed on him with their teeth. I always thought they bit him. But probably they were so angry they were grinding their teeth together. That's the idea. They gnash on them with their teeth. And the result of their wickedness, the Bible says the Lord's going to laugh at them. I'd love to hear the Lord laugh, wouldn't you? The Lord will laugh at him. It says in Psalm 2 and verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Proverbs 1:26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, the Lord said. Why would he laugh at these wicked? Whose desire is to get the upper hand on the righteous. They want to be controlling. They want to take from them whatever they have. Why would the Lord laugh? Well, the Bible says their day's coming. And the Lord knows it. One of these days, our enemy will bow their knee to our Lord Jesus. Now, they're not going to worship us. We shouldn't want that or wish for that. We're not worthy. But He is. And He whom they mock because they mock His children. Well, the Lord can say, just wait. Just wait. the day of the wicked man and his ruin. The good man, though, is saved, and the result of his justice is divine intervention. The Lord's going to intervene. The Lord's going to put a stop to all this unequal, this persecution, this mockery that goes on. He's going to put a stop to that. The Lord's going to intervene. Verse 14, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bow shall be broken. So here this wicked man is again, and his deeds are named. He's drawn the sword and bent the bow to cast down the poor and needy. Do you guess the Lord cares about that much? I mean, they're just the poor people. They don't really matter, right? Not to him. They do matter to our Lord. He says in Proverbs 14 and verse 31, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his... He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. God takes up for the poor and the widows and the fatherless. They are casting down the poor and the needy, who the Lord loves dearly. They slay them that live uprightly. The result of their wickedness is their weapon will be the cause of their own demise. They're going to fall into their own pit. They're going to trip on their own spearhead. Do you remember in the book of Ruth, the man Haman was a wicked man. He built a gallows to hang Mordecai. You remember what happened? Esther, I said Ruth, the book of Esther. To hang Mordecai, but what happened? He got hung on his own gallows. That's a good illustration of this song that they sang, to remind them of things like this. The good man is called the upright in his conversation. That would be his lifestyle. And the result of his uprightness is that his enemy is going to be defeated. Brothers and sisters, it may not always seem that we're the winners. It may not always seem like the Lord's watching and he's taking care of us like his promise. But when we get on the other end and we look back, our hindsight's 20/20. I don't know how you feel about this, but I look back at my life and I think it's miraculous how the Lord has blessed and he's met every need, literally every need. He's given us a measure of health always to be able to serve him. And when we did get sick, it was maybe a much needed rest or a lesson that he taught us to trust him in hard times. God is good. God is good. And that's what they're supposed to know as they sing this song. Let's go a little bit further. Verse 16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. This wicked man, his riches are going to, they're going to come to nothing. They're not going to suffice. They're not going to be enough. He's never going to be satisfied. But the good man, called the righteous man here, the result of his righteousness is God's going to bless his little bit. God will bless his little bit. It will be enough. Have you found it so? Verse 17, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish. And the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume. Into smoke shall they consume away. The fat of lambs. Do you ever watch fat burn? Black smoke and then it's gone. There's nothing to be found. That's this wicked man. His arms that he used to hold his weapons, His weapons of destruction, well, his arms are going to be broken. He's going to lose his power to do his wickedness. He's going to perish, be consumed away like fat on an altar. But the good man, what about him? He's upright here. The result of his uprightness, he will be able to hold that which he has. He will not be ashamed in evil times and in times of need and famine. His needs will be met. Verse 21 and 22, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. The wicked borrows, the righteous shows mercy and gives. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. So there's a contrast drawn here. I just sort of put all of the titles together. The natural unsaved man, he's called an evildoer. He's referred to several times here as wicked. He's a plotter. He's a gnasher, gnashing with his teeth. He's a destroyer, a slayer. He's the enemy of the Lord. He's a wicked borrower. The good man is called they that wait upon the Lord. Meek, just, upright, righteous. There's a contrast between the two and the results of their deeds. The natural, unsaved, wicked man will be cut off. He'll cease to be. The Lord will laugh at him. He'll die by his own devices. His riches will not suffice nor satisfy. His arms will be broken. He'll be consumed like fat on an altar. He'll be cursed of God. Just to put it all together. The good man, whose steps we're studying, will inherit the earth. He'll have an abundance of peace, divine intervention in times of trouble. His enemy will be defeated. God blesses his little bit and makes it sufficient. He'll be able to hold the things that he has and not be ashamed. He'll be fed in times of famine. He'll be blessed of God. So says the song, the psalm, Psalm 37. Intended to make us, I believe, glad we know the Lord. I'm glad I'm on His side. Praise the Lord. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the Psalm 37. Thank you for its truth. I pray that you would help us tonight, Lord, to rejoice in our salvation and in the God of our salvation. Father, thank you that you saw fit to love us with an everlasting love, that you sent the Lord Jesus to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Help us, Lord, to love him more. Help us to serve you more faithfully. Help us to be consecrated. Father, we are the winners. We're your children. We're cared for by the Almighty. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.